That will be a song I will sing a life for you. And if we forget the melody, yeah, we're writing a tune. That will be a song till evening draws the shade. I can sing a song for love.
Wisconsin has made its mark on the music industry, and we're listening to Songbird by Corey Chisel and Adriel Dene. We're talking about emerging artists from all over the state on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is producing this eclectic mix of musical gems that span all of the genres. We're starting in Appleton this morning at the nonprofit recording studio, The Refuge. Are you a musician? Can you share your story with us? What do you play? Do you support the musicians in your community? What is your favorite type of performance to experience? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Adriel Dene is a singer-songwriter based in Northeast Wisconsin. She is co-founder of Refuge Arts. That's an organization that helps people create and collaborate artistically. Adriel, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And Corey Chisel is a Grammy-nominated folk and Americana musician based in Northeast Wisconsin. He helped create the free music festival Mile of Music in his hometown of Appleton. Corey, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, too.
Well, Corey, let's start with you. You are born and bred in Appleton through and through. And throughout your career, how has your community supported you in your work?
Well, that's a pretty endless list, I could say. I had the sort of small pleasure of turning down the first two record deal offers that I got because I was straight up making more money and feeling more love by playing taverns and pizzerias in town. So it's kind of always been able to define my career because I found friends and an audience here.
Did you find a support system of musicians around Appleton?
Yeah, I mean, throughout the state, really. I mean, the sort of brother sisterhood of the Badger State is one that's it's actually hard to leave, to be perfectly honest. I think every time we go, we're always looking forward to coming back to that little crew that we create with here.
Adriel, you are originally from Chicago. How did you end up making music and art in Northeast Wisconsin?
It started about 15 years ago in my first band that was based actually in Champaign, Illinois. We came up to a little coffee shop in Neenah, Wisconsin, and played our first show in the state. And we went from playing to maybe 5 to 7 people a night to about 100 kids packed in a little coffee shop in Neenah. And we were so charmed by the group of kids that we met that night. So we kind of made a point to come back about every month. And a few months later, we met Corey and his crew, and a couple years later decided to move here. Our band relocated to Wisconsin. So yeah, it started with a show in a coffee shop, but it was
and then you're supposed to say you're supposed to say the rest is history.
Yeah.
Adriel, have you found that there is this spirit of collaboration and a real supportive music community in Wisconsin?
There is, and I think what's really intriguing to me is that it kind of goes beyond the bounds of just music making, but there's so many interesting artists in this region that have been creating, for a long, long time and making really meaningful art, and it might sit outside of the regular sort of mainstream routes of cities and places that are meccas for music and art, but I find there to be really meaningful collaboration and meaningful work coming out of this area, and I enjoy collaborating with a range of different types of artists and, maybe making music with a painter who's maybe never made music before.
Hmm.
I really, really love being a part of this community.
We're talking with Adriel Denae and Corey Chisel. They're singer-songwriters, folk musicians based in Northeast Wisconsin. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Do you support the musicians in your community? What is your favorite type of performance to experience? Do you listen to and support Wisconsin musicians? Tell us about your favorites, 800-642-1234. Corey, you played a big part in getting Appleton's music festival, Mile of Music, together and launched. Can you tell us how that came to be?
Yeah, it was one of those ideas that kind of started as a joke that we decided to stick with. We were only a few months away from the month we were going to try and pull it off, but our world of friends in the state made it really possible for us to call everyone together and try this concept of opening up. I mean, we have 70 licensed bars within a 1 mile stretch, and we thought, man, what if we had a band in each of them? And we've done just about that. And
wait, 70? 70.
I think it's 77.
Oh, my goodness. So that helped lay a groundwork there. You know, now that it's in its seventh year, how has it evolved?
Well, we've brought in bands from all over the world now. I think originally we were sort of begging and pleading for people to find Appleton or the Fox Valley on a map. And now we're kind of receiving phone calls from all over the globe from people that have heard the reputation of this beautiful city and the way that artists have been received. I mean, nothing travels faster inside the artist community than the feedback that they're getting from the audiences and the support. So we've now are welcoming people from all over the world, from France and Tokyo and everywhere else.
And the refuge is right on the Fox River, not far from the Mile of Music. Do you ever anticipate, Corey, the refuge being part of that festival?
Yeah, it already is to some degree. We have 57 bedrooms inside of the refuge, so we wind up housing a good deal of the wandering musicians in our in our homestead and on the property. But as it grows, yeah, we're going to need the space.
And with the refuge, how often do you get musicians in residence there? How often are you hosting?
It's near constant, to be honest, and that is part of a new birth of, you know, the emerging scene is now just having more and more visitors, and we couldn't be happier to host them.
Adriel, you put out a self-titled album last year. Can you tell us a little bit about that music that you created for that record?
Yeah, I actually recorded it a few years ago, back before I moved back to Wisconsin. We were living in Nashville at the time, and performing pretty steadily, living on the road, and we got an opportunity to open up some shows for Norah Jones, which was a huge deal in my mind. I'm a really big fan of hers.
Yeah.
For a long time, and that was a pretty life-changing experience. It saw you do a few shows, and you wound up touring with her for over the course of a year and a half, I think, and she brought us really all around the world with her. And at the time I had been writing my own music, but I was performing with Corey and performing his songs. And I'd been writing for a long time, but was pretty bashful about sharing that work with anyone. And she kind of just started asking me every now and then, in the catering room.
She helped coax it out of you. Adriel, we have to pause right here as we have this fabulous discussion around music. Adriel Denae, Corey Chisel with us. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network.
One car for driving, we got one bed to lay our head back down. One coffee pot that's working, one weary clock that'll still turn around. Four bowls for feeding ourselves, no cupboard doors on the kitchen shelves. Four sets of silverware and cigarettes, I think we still got two.
The music scene is thriving all over the state, and right now we're hearing Spend It All by Adriel Denae and Corey Chisel. It's homegrown Wisconsin music on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Do you listen to and support Wisconsin musicians? Tell us about your favorites at 800-642-1234. And Corey Chisel helped start the Mile of Music Festival we've been talking about. Singer-songwriter Adriel Denae is at our side. Adriel, I had to cut you off short there as we went into the break. You were talking about touring the world with Norah Jones, and we were at the edge of our seat there as to what she was telling you and coaxing you as you put together your latest album.
So she just she started asking me if I was writing, and I finally admitted to her that I was, and it took a few months to send her some demos, but she wound up offering to produce a record for me, and so we made it actually in her home studio, and then it took a while to figure out what to do with it. I was really nervous about sort of shopping it to record labels, and something intuitively just didn't feel safe and right about that. And at the time, we, you know, didn't know that we would wind up at the Refuge and back in Appleton, but once we did come back up here, it became really clear to me that I wanted to take that, you know, precious thing that I'd created and find a way to get it out to my friends and the rest of the world in a way that felt more right to me. So we released it through the Refuge, along with another little set of records, and we're kind of charting our own path, you know, with that record and the other releases that we've done. And it's not super easy because we're kind of making it up as we go, but it feels more right to me.
Mm. And you co-founded The Refuge with Corey in Appleton. Can you tell us about what makes it so special and give us a sense of what this monastery looks like?
Well, it's a big, big old building. It's 32,000 square feet. It was built in 1935. By a group of Franciscan monks, and it sits on several acres of land right on the edge of the Fox River, and there's an old apple orchard, and it's a beautiful little piece of the world that's been kind of untouched by much, really. There's a lot of wildlife and eagles that nest on the property, and watching the river pelicans fly past our window right now. It's this really incredible little piece of the world. But it's just right, you know, in the middle of town as well. It maybe takes 4 minutes to get downtown. And it's just a really peaceful, protected little spot that's been protected by a lot of caring individuals for the last 90 years. And now there's, you know, there's always a kind of rotating group of artists that are working in this space, and also a group of local artists that that live there and help hold the fort down. So it kind of maintains this kind of contemplative, quiet space, but you can find all sorts of people working away at their projects as well. And then every now and then, like during Mile of Music and at other various points in the year, we'll have the whole building filled with 20, 30, 40 artists. And then it turns into sort of summer camp for a few days.
That's just a beautiful description.
In the chapel. Yeah, sometimes we'll have performances in the chapel and on the property as well, and that's really special. We get a few hundred people from the community out to the space to take something in together.
It's hallowed ground for artistry, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like that to me, I guess. You know, everyone has their different experiences, but it's definitely been a really healing space for me to be in, and I hope it is for others too.
Corey, when you do host artists at the refuge. Do you find yourselves collaborating with them or being inspired by what they're doing and you get an idea and it kind of infuses into what you're doing?
I'm not above forcing a collaboration if necessary. I mean, that's the whole reason, you know, for that we took on the stewardship of the project was to be inspired. And, you know, we've spent a lot of our life kind of roaming around trying to take little pieces from everywhere. But Wisconsin, for me, has been the constant fertile ground. So to import the inspiration from other places and let it mix with this sense of home that we feel is really something special for me. I mean, I struggle all the time to not feel like this is secretly all just really working out great for Adriel and I. There's a beautiful component to just seeing how all the elements mix with this beautiful setting of this part of the world. And Wisconsin is at the forefront of a lot of musical waves that have never been credited. And so it's fun to be a part of the next kind of quiet big moments, you know.
And Corey, you lived and worked in Nashville, which is certainly a place where you could be networking, and there's so much music happening there, and in other cities as well. Do you find it that you are at all perhaps disadvantaged by being in a more quiet setting that is withdrawn from the major music scenes?
I actually feel like it's the opposite. I feel like a lot of oversaturation and overcrowding and people competing for the same tiny little piece of air and resources actually doesn't do a whole lot to benefit the creative process or even just the friend building process that artists really atrophy from not having. You know, we as a community, we gain so much from, you know, the proximity and support of each other, but it makes it really hard in those type of cities where rent is what it is and there's only so many jobs. And so I find that people are fleeing those meccas all the time and looking for a place to sort of gaze inward in a different space. And we're really, really proud to have something to offer.
Well, we all want to know, Corey, what is next for you? And I want to know the same from Adriel, but musically and otherwise, what are you working on?
Well, currently I'm working on a project with another sort of, you know, uber famed Wisconsin artist, Butch Vig, the famous producer and musician who did Nirvana's Nevermind and drummer for Garbage. And we're working on a, I don't know, might even be a strange children's album, I think it's shaping up to be. I mean, I think one of the beauties of working now is that we don't always have to have a destination charted out. We just have to like start from a very inspired place. And I've been working with in film on Rance Howard and Clint Howard's newest films and, you know, just kind of whatever inspires, to be honest. And there's a long list we're trying to blast through.
There's some dabbling going on, but with some direction. Adriel, what are you up to?
You know, I have a steady stream of new music that I'm writing and making, and I'm putting plans together to record it so I can share it with more people. I also spend a lot of time on the property at the refuge working in the apple orchard and just tending the earth. And that takes a lot of time, but it's actually really inspiring and good for me right now. I also have a little...
Go ahead.
I have a little company that I started with my friend Jen Auerbach in Nashville, and so I work on that with her too. It's kind of a mix of music and gardening and crafting right now.
Adriel, I'm wondering as we close here if you could tell us what you do when you get writer's block, when the words just don't come.
I usually just sit at my piano and play or go for a walk outside, I guess. The music usually comes first for me, mostly because I need to sit and play as a way to quiet my mind and get back to myself. So for me, that's something that I really try to do every day, mostly because it's my quickest route to mental health. Mm-hmm. And usually my songs just sort of spring out of that time that I spend at the piano. Every now and then, you know, while I'm doing something else, poetry or, you know, little melodies will come out, but usually the songs that stick are the ones that come out of that space.
Well, Adriel and Corey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Adriel Dene, singer-songwriter based in Northeast Wisconsin, co-founder of Refuge Arts, an organization that helps people create and collaborate artistically. Corey Chisel there, Grammy-nominated folk and Americana musician. And Corey helped create the free music festival Mile of Music in his hometown of Appleton. Coming up, we head to Radio Milwaukee to talk with the music director about five artists whose music is turning heads. Stay with us as our Wisconsin Weekend playlist continues here on the Ideas Network.
Stay healthy, we will. Stay healthy, we will be on your ear. We will be on your ear. We will be on your ear. Stay healthy, we will.
Are you looking for new Wisconsin music? This is the place to be here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're hearing from Justin Jagla right now with his track Stay Freaky Giannis, about Milwaukee Bucks player Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're doing a music roundup. We're headed to Milwaukee now, and you can join in on this Wisconsin music tour, 800-642-1234. Are you a musician? Share your story with us. What do you play? Do you support the musicians in your community? What is your favorite type of performance? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Justin Barney is music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, which regularly features musicians from Milwaukee and all over Wisconsin. He is the writer and producer of five songs we can't stop listening to. Justin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, you're the music director at Radio Milwaukee. How do you incorporate Wisconsin musicians and artists into your station rotation?
We started the station 12 years ago, and the first idea that we had was we should play Milwaukee music every single hour, which has been our mission since day one. And so that was like the baseline. What can we do for the city? And so we play Milwaukee musicians every hour. So that means when you're listening to 88.9, you are going to be listening to, you know, Radiohead and the Arctic Monkeys, and right in between that, you're going to hear Milwaukee music.
So it's like a Milwaukee sandwich.
It's like a Milwaukee sandwich, yeah. A lot of radio stations will put all local music into like 1 hour at the end of the week or something, but we think that Milwaukee music deserves more than that because it's just as good as anything that's happening nationally, so we put it right there in the middle with everything else. And then we do a whole ton of other stuff, too. It feels like every year we're like, how can we do better? What can we do better? And so since from the beginning as well, we've had our session 414 Live, which happens every Thursday in our studio at Walker's Point in Milwaukee. And we have a local band come in, and for half an hour they play. It's a concert. It's open to the public. We do an interview with them, and we invite everybody in Milwaukee, anybody who wants to come in, to come down, and it's free and open to the public. It's like a local musician plays for half an hour every Thursday. We have a whole second radio station called 414music.fm where we play 24/7 Milwaukee music. It was an idea started by my boss, and he was like, we were sitting around one day and we're like, there's so much great Milwaukee music. What if we just played Milwaukee music?
That works.
And so we did.
Well,
yeah.
I tell you what, you've come armed with a whole lot of music to share for us, and we need to get started here. So the Milwaukee hip-hop artist Zed Kenzo recently released this track, Psycho. Let's hear a bit.
I'm on my squad, we about to go psycho. Got a couple bottles, and you know we looking so fly, though. What I mean by squad is really me, myself, and I though. I don't need.
So, Justin, what do we need to know about Zed Kenzo?
I love Zed Kenzo. She just released this EP called Baby Swag. And there, when you think of, like, musical artist or, like, artiste, you know, Zed Kenzo is the kind of person that you think of. She went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and she majored in contemporary dance. And so music and performance is kind of like performance is her bedrock, but she hasn't been making, she started in dance and then she started in doing visual art. And she started in all these arts outside of that. And then only recent in the past, 2 years or something, she started to make music. So she started as you know, just a pure artist. She's just an artistic person. If you see a picture of her, you'd be like, oh, that's...
Well, so she just had this build-up into music. She was just building all of this, and there's a vision here because artists have visions. Well, and, you know, she was part of Radio Milwaukee's program Backline. What is the mission of that program?
Backline is a program that we started in partnership with Generator, who's a startup in Wisconsin. And one of the things that we realize as a radio station is that Milwaukee music is making amazing music. You know, we play it between national artists because it's just as good. But Milwaukee musicians have a difficult time breaking out of Milwaukee. You know, getting recognized outside of the scene for the amazing music that they're making is a difficult thing to do. So we started this program called Backline. And it's supposed to be that we are there to help artists take it to the next level. And so a big part of that is a $20,000 grant that we just give to artists to help them either, for Zed, it is releasing music. She's got the vision down. Mm. She's got the music down. And that's the thing that musicians are really good at is making music. And the thing that they need help with is managing their talent, is getting records in front of other people's ears, is promotion, is press, is the 1 million other tiny jobs that musicians have to do in addition to making music.
Justin, that's all the housekeeping, right?
It's all the housekeeping. It's so tough. And so Backline is a program that we started where we have cohorts, and the first group was four musicians. Zed Kenzo was one of them, and we give them a grant, and we have a program director as well who, you know, they flew to New York, they flew to L.A., and they, you know, get help meeting industry professionals, kind of getting their work out there, and Zed was one of the four original cohorts, and we hope that her music breaks out of Milwaukee as well as her staying here and the music being able to be heard by everyone in the city.
Talking with Justin Barney, music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, and we're just walking through a lot of the songs that he has come with, and there is another band called the Dramatic Lovers. Mm-hmm. Who are the Dramatic Lovers?
The Dramatic Lovers are, they were all in former bands. There is this time in Milwaukee music that in the early 2000s, that was really fruitful. A lot of really great bands. We had two of the biggest ones were this band Maritime and Decibel-y. And they were playing in Milwaukee basements. And they also had records. I remember buying a Maritime record from Exclusive Company in Greenfield when I was in high school and not knowing that they were a Milwaukee band because they were in with everything else. And so it's members of these bands. And they came together to form Dramatic Lovers. They're releasing an album on May 24th. And Dramatic Lovers, the name itself, I love. Because Dramatic Lovers comes from this group in Milwaukee. In the area, there's Bayview. Mm-hmm. And Bayview in the early 1900s had a lot of Italian anarchists in the neighborhood. And these Italian anarchists would meet at the Cactus Club, which is still a functioning club that plays music, that they have live music 7 days a week. A lot of, like, super famous bands have played Cactus Club. I remember interviewing Interpol, and I was talking to Paul Banks from Interpol, and he's like, yeah, I remember playing Milwaukee. I remember playing at this house. I was like, it was probably Cactus Club. He's like, yeah, Cactus Club. He's like, I've played a million venues all around the world, and I remember Cactus Club. That was a great show.
Well, we need to hear a little bit of Dramatic Lovers, and this is called Fast As It's Made. So, Justin, what's unique about their sound?
Is that they started from these bands, Maritime and Decibel-y, and then they said that they didn't want to sound like those bands, because us in Milwaukee, we know and love those bands, and they said that they wanted to go into the archive and sound like some bands that they grew up loving, so like New Order and The Cure. And they are all just really solid musicians who have been making great music forever, and Germanic Lovers, they've done it again.
We got to move on to Abby Jean, another Milwaukee musician. Let's hear her song, Pleasure's Pain.
No, they say that a man who doesn't lie doesn't know just where he's been. And if I behold, well, I'm stuck with it, baby. Have my fun and ride a play. We're giving the best. Oh, it's everything we wanted. No one's dying on the cross. This all just began. I knew I loved you when I met you. That's a story.
All right, what's going on with Abby?
Abby Jean. She just released this album called Music Box Dancer, and she was working at this cafe in Bayview called Hi-Fi Cafe. That's like a local favorite, and that is her music box. And she would dance and play at Hi-Fi Cafe, and she just released this song. And every once in a while, you know, a Milwaukee artist will come along, and people will just – it just really connects with people. And that's what Abby Jean has done. She self-released this album last year, and it was like she just took off into the stratosphere. All of a sudden, she was booked on all these summer festivals in Milwaukee. She recently got a licensing in a Miller ad, so her songs these commercials.
She's doing a
residency in L.A.
A Miller beer ad. I'm just trying to slow that one down a little bit there. I mean, how appropriate is that for Milwaukee? I mean, you've arrived, right?
Exactly. That's how you have made it.
So what are you hoping to hear from her going forward?
I think that she, like many musicians, like she's got it down. She has a voice that's truly unique, that you can hear it in her soul. And we're hoping that just more people hear it, and then more people like her, more people support her, and we hope that she becomes the biggest artist in the entire world.
We are getting schooled on the up-and-coming Wisconsin musicians on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend, and these music selections come carefully curated for us by Justin Barney. He's music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Are you a business owner who hosts local musicians? What's that like? Do you do summer music festivals? What's your favorite venue? What Wisconsin artist would you like to see next or perhaps again? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to the music in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're on a Wisconsin music tour on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're hearing a compilation of selected artists with the help of the Milwaukee music immersed Justin Barney at our side. He's music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. And now let's turn up the song On Wisconsin, music by Trapper Shep, lyrics by the one and only, get this, Bob Dylan.
I'm headed to Wisconsin, 2,000 miles to go. Madison, Milwaukee, since my heart ain't glow. I'm a-coming to that state and my heart's beating fast. And I'll jerk my banjo gently, twiddle my mustache on Wisconsin.
All right, Justin, tell us about the folk musician we're hearing, Trapper Shep.
So Trapper Shep is a Milwaukee musician. He's been making music for 5 or 6 years here, and he's kind of obsessed with Bob Dylan. Oh, it kind of always has been. And he, like obsessives do, you know, you just have the, you know, you're just on Google for Bob Dylan. And he saw that Bob Dylan had up for auction a lyric sheet that he had written in 1961 about Milwaukee. And he couldn't buy it. but he saw the scan of it, and he saw what the lyrics had, and he said, you know, I could put this to music. And so he put it to his own original music, Bob Dylan's lyrics and some of his. And then he said in a series of Hail Marys, he threw it up the flagpole and sent it to someone at the label who then passed it on. And then eventually Bob Dylan listened to it. Bob Dylan co-signed it, said that he would be the co-writer on the song. And so Bob Dylan, he is the writer, and so he gets the credit, and Trapper Shep, a writer as well. So Bob Dylan gets a credit on Milwaukee musician Trapper Shep's new album.
That is just crazy cool. I mean, I can't. That is just nuts, wild. Bob Dylan lived in Wisconsin for a time, trying to make it in our folk scene here.
That's it. Yeah, he had a song as well that I've seen where he calls Wauwatosa Wauwatoaster, and he has written about the city and the scene as well. So I Bob Dylan living in Milwaukee is just a crazy thought.
Well, so we don't have much time left, but how have your listeners interacted with Radio Milwaukee's programming? I mean, when you put something out there and they don't like it, do you know?
Well, that's tough. Not really.
But when they love it, you know, right?
When they love it, we certainly know. and our listeners and our musicians are so part of what we do. You know, there is this thing. You know, it's us bringing up artists, supporting artists, having concerts every week, having a whole channel dedicated to Milwaukee music that lets musicians know that they will be heard, which is such an important thing for a musician, because so many people make music and you feel like it's falling on deaf ears. But we want to let musicians know that we're here for them, that we care, that the music scene cares, that Milwaukee cares. And so our listeners listen to them, and it encourages them to make more music, and then they make more music, and then our listeners listen to it. And it's just like this great circle of support that we have.
Do you think Wisconsin is a place that musicians can be successful? Can they make a living in their art?
I absolutely think so. I mean, I know a musician who lives in Milwaukee right now who he grew up in Canterbury, England, and he moved to Milwaukee and is living here now. And he is making it as a successful living musician by moving to Milwaukee.
It definitely can happen. Right?
It can happen.
Well, you know, Justin, it's always so much fun to have you around. And we were saying earlier, you should be getting producer credit on this segment, because I'm so thrilled that you could bring all of this great music and that you keep us in the loop on what's happening.
Well, thank you for caring. I mean, so many musicians are making such great music, and we just want it to be heard and for it to be supported. So thank you for caring, for listening, for having me on, and for listening to all this great Milwaukee music with me.
Justin Barney, music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, which regularly features musicians from Milwaukee and all over Wisconsin. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a disappearing crop.
Tobacco used to be a major cash crop in Wisconsin, but today, very few farms remain, and they're primarily located in southeast Dane County. Kristen Durst introduces us to one of these rare tobacco farmers who's keeping the Wisconsin agricultural tradition alive.
Kurt Watson is a fourth-generation tobacco farmer.
Yeah, I just painted this shed here. It's kind of old, but I have no clue how old this thing is. It's probably, I don't know, 1920s maybe, I don't know.
He farms 8 acres near Edgerton. That's down from 14 acres just a few years ago.
It's hard to invest a lot of money into tobacco because we don't know how long it's going to be around.
The government used to subsidize the industry, but it was deregulated around 15 years ago. And a federal tobacco buyout program to help ease farmers into an unregulated market made its last payments nearly 5 years ago. On this late summer day, Watson is harvesting tobacco with his family. They cut each stalk by hand, spear it, and string it on a wood lathe.
Basically, after we cut it, you know, it'll lay here, if we got a good sunny day, lay here for a couple hours, and then it will wilt down, and the leaves get really pliable, kind of like a rubber-like, and then it's really easy for us to string, string up, and then get it to the tobacco shed to dry.
In Wisconsin, the variety is grown are solely for chewing tobacco. It's an incredibly labor-intensive crop, yet another reason why there are so few tobacco farmers in the state today.
The thing about tobacco is you handle the plant so many times. You handle it when you're planting, you handle it when you're topping, you handle it when you're cutting, you handle it when you're stringing. And then you load it, you take it to the shed, you handle it there twice. Then you take it down, you take it into where you strip the leaves off, and then you put it in the bundle box, and you haul the bales to market.
And Watson says it's hard to find manual labor, which is why family and friends are essential.
Can you teach me how to tie that?
Tobacco hangs and dries in the shed all fall and is ready for sale now that the moist winter air has made it more pliable. Watson's family and friends have just stripped the leaves off of each stalk. They're compressing and tying them into bundles for market. His mom, Marjorie Furseth, says this gathering is tradition.
We have a lot of fun being together. That's why we do this once a year. The whole family clan gets together and we strip for Kurt just to get together.
And while they are together, they talk a lot about tobacco and its rich history. Watson and his neighbor, Sheldon Shield, both have deep roots.
You know, I just think back of all of the farmers that grew tobacco, and a lot of those guys aren't with us anymore. They're not around, and that next generation's not willing to take it on, it's kind of sad in a way. I mean, it's definitely the heritage of this area. I mean, there's farms around here that were paid with tobacco money, and it's just kind of getting to be a thing of the past for the most part. So
going to town and see all the big houses. They're owned by the tobacco barons, the ones that bought the tobacco. Yeah. There are some huge ones in town.
I mean, there was probably, 25 or more tobacco companies at one time? I mean,
Watson says while it's a little sad to reflect on the plight of tobacco in Wisconsin, there's also a lot to cherish, largely because he has so many fond memories, working with his father and grandfather, and the ones he's making in the tobacco fields with his kids.
I don't know if I know any different. You know, I've been brought up this way, and I just enjoy it. So I'm sure it's going to go away someday, but I'll probably be one of the last ones doing it.
That story came to us from Kristen Durst, who lives in Madison. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@wpr.org. That's mornings@wpr.org. And we'll explore your tip for a Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.